Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by gamers for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beowulf.
And we're gonna be back talking about role playing again. I know you find it so exciting. But, really, this was your idea, dude. Don't give me that,
Well, no, you're talking about role-playing games. Role-playing games are exciting to play, but talking about them?
Okay, I can see that. And since we're not talking about even games, per se, we're going to be talking about different types of systems. Yeah, okay, that gets a meh. But we'll try and keep it interesting. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I've dabbled a little bit into role-playing game design. I've only, got 3 published games now?
Yeah.
Self-published, to be sure, and they never sold any. But hey, I have developed several systems, but 3 primary ones. One was dice-based. Percentile-based, actually. Mm-hmm. And that was the one that basically got tossed aside because of, I mentioned it the other few weeks ago, our friend playing a necromancer, killing everything in a 3-mile-wide swath, and turned it into inventory for his business. Yeah. That showed a bit of a hole in my game design. Another one was based on playing cards, using playing cards instead of dice. And I can't remember what the third one was based on. Was it just flat out diceless? Something like that. It's been a long time since I looked at that one. But anyway, point is, there's lots and lots of types of systems for role-playing games.
Yes.
And you had suggested this as a topic for this month. Why don't you jump on in?
Well, right now, everybody, most everybody plays the D&D type games, the ones that were spawned from D&D, what they're using, their 20-sided dice, or they're using the 10-sideds, or they're all dice-based games, and dice-based games work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way around it. They just plain work. But then, you know, other game designers got creative, and there's games where you have a pool of points that you can spend for actions, and once you run out of pool of points, you have to wait until you generate more. And they're sometimes are rewarded because of you do something interesting, or you do something that pushes the game along, or you do some, you know, you role play really well. You know, the game master can add points or take points away depending upon how you play.
Sure. So,
and there's, of course, you know, I saw a game that used tarot cards as its, you know, this is how you perform actions. You draw a card and it gives you, you know, a bonus to your action.
Right.
And of course, you know, you had your card, you know, just basic cards.
Yeah.
Playing cards.
Which I basically went with because who doesn't have a deck of cards laying around?
I know I have several of them.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, like I said, there's other ways of playing, and completely diceless, completely, you know, using just, you just role play. And the strength of your role-playing, determines how well you do. As, you know, as everybody thinks, that would be fantastic if it worked. Unless you've got a really good group of players who understand one another and a game master who's been with them and worked with them for years, it's really hard to pull off because people will think that I did great. I should have gotten a better bonus than that. And they get all butthurt about it, and they end up quitting.
Yeah. Also, you know, diceless in theory sounds great, but in actual, you know, when it actually comes down to the full mechanics of it, it's really hard because, you know, let's look at what you're trying to do. When you're playing a game, you've got the mechanics of the game, you've got your stats for your character and things like that. You've got rules in your systems to determine how these things work. But the whole point of using dice or cards or whatever else you're using to, to try and help determine whether you were able to pick up that stick and hit that tree with the stick. The whole point of rolling the dice or drawing a card or spinning a coin or whatever you do, you know, playing, you know, rock, paper, scissors, whatever it is, doesn't matter, is to basically throw luck, throw a random element into the system. Because without some randomness, without some chaos in the system, you're gonna just, it all just kind of crumbles and dries up and becomes a very static and drawn out, boring system. Now, let's say, you know, a diceless system where it's just based off of, you have stats. You need to have a 10 to be able to do this item. You know, do whatever you're doing, like take stick and hit tree. Okay, I need a 10. Well, I've got a stat that is 12. I'm never going to miss the tree. No matter what I do, I will always hit this tree. Great. You would think, well, that seems reasonable. He's got a really great stat. He should be able to do that. Now extrapolate that to where I'm not trying to hit a tree. I'm trying to hit an enemy. And so I never miss. I always do damage. My stick never breaks. My sword never breaks. There's never any random element to it. So how is that fun? Pretty soon it's, I slash the goblin, I slash the goblin, I slash the goblin, I slash the goblin. Meanwhile, everybody else in the group is sitting there going, swing. Oh, we didn't hit him because we didn't have enough to get there. How can we possibly get to that point? Because we can't. We have static stats. We need a 10 in this stat to hit said goblin, but we have an 8.
And that's where the DM, or the game master, adds bonuses on the type of action you're doing. If it's imaginative, if it's, you know, helps push the story along, or if it's good role-playing, then you get bonuses that help. But you're not going to get bonuses all the time. So you're going to be a slave to your stats.
Well, sure. I mean, that came into feng shui when we were playing that.
But didn't you have dice or pools that you could use to...
There was dice involved. But you also got bonuses based off of role-playing. For example, our friend's ex-wife. Remember she was trying to play an assassin character?
Yes, she was a killer.
Yes. And she would, in this one battle scene that you were running, and she's popping up behind boxes in a warehouse, she'd say, I'd pop up and I shoot that guy. Okay. And she'd roll and she'd hit him maybe, or she wouldn't, because it was straight off of the dice. Just straight random roll, you know, her bonuses and all that, plus the dice, and it would determine how she did. It was very cut and dried. That's just a straight rules. Then along comes my Masked Avenger character, who thought he was a superhero, who's surfing on top of a runaway forklift with two Uzi submachine guns, one in each hand, spraying at random at mooks on either side as he's racing through the warehouse, killing people left and right because of the bonuses I got for role-playing and being inventive and doing something different. And she got so pissed.
Well, then there was also, wasn't it Bob's character who grabbed a couple soup ladles in the kitchen fight?
Yes.
And basically used them like tonfas.
Yes.
And beat up one of the mooks with soup ladles, including hooking him by the nose with a soup ladle and throwing him out the window.
Yep, he was hanging off the neon sign, because the restaurant was on the second floor. So he was hanging off the neon sign above the
street. And he got tons of bonuses because instead of, you know, pulling a lethal weapon, he just grabbed the nearest things, which was a couple of soup ladles. And he just starts just bonking the crud out of this poor idiot.
He also tried to drown one of the mook gang members in a bowl of egg soup.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well because he was being inventive. That's, you know, you got to have things like that for a, it wasn't a diceless system, but going back to diceless systems, it becomes then all about the role-playing, which you would think, that's great. That's awesome. You know, you want people to role-play, right? But at the same time, there's a place, I hate to say it, but there is a place and a time for, you know, I just pull my sword and swing at the goblin. You know, you can't always be, I'm Errol Flynn, and swing in on a freaking, you know, cut sail and kick ass on three people as I'm on my way down and then grab the girl and swing away. That's awesome. That's great. That's very flamboyant and whatnot. And not every role player is up to that. We got to admit that it's going to be a lot of patties in the group. There's always going to be a patty to deal with. And if they're going to have fun, they have to have a system that's going to work. And a diceless system isn't it most of the time. Especially if it's based solely on bonuses for role-playing.
Well, and one of my issues with the card, you know, the deck of cards type game. So you're drawing, you get shuffled out a set number of cards. Now, the random nature of this is, A, you don't know what cards you got. You could have got a whole bunch of twos and threes. Meanwhile, you know, player X, he's got all the high cards. So he's set for the game. Meanwhile, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But say you got a good mix. And you're pulling cards. And as you're building up towards the big boss, you're burning a lot of twos, threes, fours, etc. And you realize that this is cool. I'm getting into the final fight and I've got nothing but high cards left. It kind of spoils the game in that fashion, as far as I'm concerned. Because if it's reversed, you know, you're doing great as you get your way up to the final boss and then you realize you've got crap. You're going to be absolutely ineffective for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why with my card-based system, it was all, everybody had their own deck. And you just shuffled and drew off a card. Or if there was only one person with a deck or there wasn't enough decks to go around, the game master would use one deck and would draw at random for everybody. Which, in theory, works really well, but in actual practice, not so much, because when everybody has their own deck, let's be honest, not everybody is honest, and you will have people that are doing the little thing until they get a good card, they'll palm that ace, or that king, or whatever is a really good card in your system, and they'll palm a few of those and just happen to lay that out when they really need it. So really, in a card-based system, it has to be only one deck, and it has to be the game master being the one doing the draws. And the problem there, even though you've got full control, the problem is you have full control.
And the players don't like it.
The players are like, well, you took, I could say what I want to do, but in the end, I didn't get to roll for it. I didn't get to draw for it.
Mm-hmm.
They
feel cheated.
They got taken from them.
So the dice-based systems seem to work the best.
Even when it's weird dice that not everybody has.
It would be nice, though, if we could come up with something better.
Sure. But what?
No idea.
Now, you mentioned point-based systems. And with things like that, I'm mostly used to more of a hybrid system, like Fate or the old Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, where you had both dice-based systems, but you also, and Fate can be diceless, but let's be honest, it's mostly dice-based. But you also have points. You had Fate points. Actually, I thought there were Fate points in Warhammer, too. They were called the same thing.
Something similar.
But anyway, the whole point was you could spend that point
to re-roll
or to improve a roll or something like that.
Or to add a big bonus to the roll you already did.
Sure. And you could get points by role-playing well.
Uh-huh.
That really works well because now you're adding a level of control through the randomness, through the chaos. Yeah, you've got, you know, you never know how those dice are going to roll, and that's great. But now, you then have that, at the worst possible moment, you roll all ones. You're screwed. But I'll throw that fate point out there to change that roll and make it better.
That reminds me of the Harry Dresden system.
Yeah, that's fate.
And I like the way that works.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if you suffer the bad rolls, if you suffer the trials of just going straight dice, and you trudge your way to the big fight, and now you've got a full pool of points to spend.
Yeah.
You earned the right to use that pool of points because you put up with the bad dice rolls and you put up with the difficulties of not using them earlier.
And those players that wasted their fate points on, well, you know, that's more of an embarrassing roll than anything, and they spent it, you know, sure, it was an inconvenience, maybe they would have even been able to avoid some damage. But in doing so, you took the damage and you just suffered with it. They were able to avoid that damage, but now they've got only a couple points. There's the big nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have nearly as much fun, and they may not even survive that end encounter.
Yeah. That's why I love my werewolf character.
Oh, yeah. We still have to play that for Halloween, you know. I'm thinking the Halloween game this year is definitely going to be Harry Dresden.
We just have to figure out how to get two more players into the group.
Well, I think we'll figure it out.
I think Jay would love it. Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's internal politics. Point is, there's lots of great systems out there. And you're right. The people say, well, yeah, diceless is great. And they keep trying to make diceless systems and card-based systems and point-based systems. But in the end, dice have been and always will be king. Because it's easy to control.
Well, and you've got so much variety involved.
Yeah.
You know, there's the D6 system. There's the D10 system that
White Wolf
uses.
World of Darkness. Hell yeah.
There's, you know, the D20 systems. There's the percentile systems. Then, of course, there's D&D, which uses all of the above.
Sure.
You've got variety. You can, it gives the person creating the game more ability to just, you know, design it the way they want, because you've got the dice system to back you up.
But there are problems with it, too.
Well, obviously. I mean,
let's look at, you know, the D6 system, for example. When you get a stat increase, in that system, it can become a serious problem, because if you've got a roll equal to or under a particular score, right? Mm-hmm. A particular stat to be able to do it. When you get a stat increase in a system where it's only from 1 to 6, it becomes a huge freaking problem. Now, really, this comes down to more tabletop fantasy battle games like Warhammer. There, that's a D6 system. I mean, the Fantasy War roleplay system at least used a D20 for combat, which was good, if I remember right.
Yeah.
They used D6s for damage and such. But
right, but they used a percentile for a lot of things, too.
Yeah. The thing is that, though, with the tabletop battle game, the miniature battle games, it's D6 based, and a stat increase makes a huge freaking difference. It's multiple percentiles. I mean, you go from 4 out of 6 to 5 out of 6 being successful is massive, and it could be completely game breaking, really. So you got to be very careful when it comes to dice. That's why using the bigger dice, like, you know, D12, D20, or multiple dice, like what they do with World of Darkness, where it's not your stat determines how many D10s you roll.
Right.
That makes a huge difference, because each of those that you've got over a certain amount is a success. So you have X amount of successes. You need to have so many successes to succeed. It makes sense when you read the rules. That's really important. That's really good game design. But if you're, you know, you're leaving it down to one dice, well, you might as well be using a D20, because you got to have that room. Otherwise, without it, it becomes overpowered and broken very, very quickly. That's why I really thought going to a card-based system was best, because you've got from ace to king. Mm-hmm. You know, you got 13 numbers there. That's pretty good. You know, that's a lot of range to work with.
Yeah.
But as we found out, you know, it wasn't so much the system that was broken, it was the players, you know. if you can palm a card, you could cheat my system, and that was not good. So I started experimenting with where you would be dealt out X amount of cards, you knew what you had, and every time you used a card, you'd be dealt a new card. But that allowed you to, hey, this isn't as important of an encounter. You could use a lower card that would work. And you could save the really good cards towards the end.
Right. Which most players would do.
And I was going to have it to where you got bonuses if you would drop a pair or three cards or whatever. And you would get a really awesome effect if you were trying to do something. I mean, not tripling your effect, but still, you know, for three cards. But at least, not only do you have a guaranteed success, you get some bonus damage, things like that. I never ended up doing that in my revised system, but I was working on it. And it would have been awesome, because then there was less chance for cheating, first of all. But it would have worked. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. You have any other thoughts on the topic?
No, I pretty much said what I had to say. I don't play a lot of the systems that use cards.
Yeah, no, that's pretty rare.
There's a few that use pools, but usually it's a hybrid, like you said, where it's using dice and pools.
Right.
Which I seem to favor.
Yeah, I can't think of one offhand that uses just straight... Actually, no, I can. The Baron Munchausen system. Most people haven't heard of it. I got it for my birthday many years ago, and it's basically just straight role-playing. But everybody's got a set amount of coins, and they basically, they'll tell a tale. It's a really fantastic tale. And other people can throw out coins to challenge their version of the tale and tell their own version of the tale. And so you had X amount of coins that you'd bet against each other and try to win the pot by having the most interesting tale. And yeah, it, I never really got to find out how it worked in actual use because nobody would play it. But hey, you know.
But to be honest, how many games do you own?
I'd have to go count. Probably, well, physical books or digital?
Physical books.
Physical books.
Let's not get ridiculous.
At least 50?
Exactly. And you're talking about a whole bunch of introverts who don't like getting pushed out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So you come in all excited about this new game. The majority of them are like,
I'm telling you, you guys would enjoy A Song of Ice and Fire.
Possibly.
You would really enjoy Anomaly. Oh my God. So awesome. But you'll never play it, will you?
Well, we played games that I liked, and we never got to continue.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I like the Witchcraft game.
I have it.
We never get to play it. I like the Talislanta was kind of cool.
We actually made characters, but never played.
We played a lot of.
Oh, Earth
but
Dawn
we can
system.
Never keep a steady group.
The system is so hard.
Probably why we can't keep a good group.
Yeah. Talislanta only went down because that one guy we had in the group at the time who looked at the system, looked at the books and goes, I have a headache. Can we just play D&D instead?
Yeah.
Yeah. So much for that. Again, players breaking the games. It's not the developer's fault. I paid $50 a book for that. I have two versions of it. Two copies. Same game. Never mind. I'll stop whining now. So, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.